Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
Well, I don't know who this Kristen Kapatchik is, but hi, guys. My name is Kristen Colangelo. If I have not had the pleasure of meeting you, I already said my name is Kristen. If you don't know me or what I'm doing up here, I just have had the pleasure of being like sisters with Ellie, and Zach is like a brother to me. So we've been doing, youth ministry for just a couple years now. So this is really just a privilege for me to be up here. So I don't know if they can hear me right now, but I wanted to say thank you to Zach and to Ellie for just giving me the platform tonight and letting me be up here and speak to you guys. And I'm just going to pray, and then we'll get started. God, I thank you for the opportunity that I have to be up here. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in our hearts. You're welcome to move in our hearts. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you just calm any nerves that I have, and I pray that you just use me as a vessel tonight, and that you just speak to each and every person in your own way, just exactly what each person needs to hear. I thank you for this, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're talking about purpose, right? I love the title of this series, Finish Your Race. We're talking about purpose. And, you know, that makes me think of something that each one of us was asked as a kid, right? What's the one question that everybody gets asked as a kid? What do you want to be when you grow up, right? Everyone gets asked that. What do you want to be when you grow up? But, you know, I think that implies that, first of all, like, who knows as, like, a sixth grader what they want to be when they grow up, right? I mean, maybe some prodigy kid knows when they're real young. But most of us don't know that, right? And I also think that puts, like, a lot of pressure on us. And that's a big topic, right? Like, what is your purpose in life? That's a huge topic. It's a really weighty thing, right? But, you know, I think a lot of you in this room, before we even get to what do you want to be when you grow up, I think a lot of you in this room are even asking the question, like, does it even matter? Do I even have purpose? Does my life even matter? And so I want to dive right in and answer that question with what God says in Jeremiah 1:5. It says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. So we know that God created everything, right? And God is outside of time. So while God is in eternity, before you were ever here, before you were even a thought to your parents, right? Any of us, God was in eternity. God could see absolutely everything in the time period that you and I are living today. He knew exactly before you were created. He knew what the economic, the political, the social situations of our day and age would be like, right? He knew everything that would happen. He knew every problem that would be in the world today. And when he thought about every single person that he was going to create, he saw you and said that you would be the best person to be the answer to that problem. Before you were even formed, he saw you, he knew you, and he set you apart. So yeah, your life matters, and God has given you a specific purpose in life. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So we're gonna break up that scripture into two parts, okay? So the first part says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. So what that tells me is that God has uniquely gifted you for a very specific purpose. And you know what that means? You don't have to be good at everything. And that's okay. That's the way that God created it. That's the way that we're designed. We're designed to be one part in the body of Christ, not the whole thing. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 21 says this. This is a little bit long, but listen to this. Every part of this, this is so important. And I love how incredibly practical the Bible is. It says this. Yes, the body has many different parts, but not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that not make it any less a part of the body? I mean, that does not make it any less part of the body. You know what I'm saying? And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Like, what if, you see what I'm saying? Like, how incredibly practical the Bible is. Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Okay, that is incredibly practical, the way that the Bible breaks this down, that each and every one of us are a part of the body. We don't have to have everything, but it is crucial for you to be exactly what God has called you to be and exactly where God has called you to be. And that's okay, right? For me personally, I am not a numbers person. I am so terrible at math. Anybody else, right? Anybody else hates numbers? Yeah, okay. I am not joking when I say I threw myself a party in college when I took my last math test of my entire life. I had a party. To this day, I still cannot do basic math, okay? Thankful for an iPhone that has a calculator, okay? But words and grammar, I love, right? I love words, and I love getting up in front of people and talking. Okay, the only math that I can do is me plus math equals nope. Okay, that's about all I have. Or, you know, and guys, I can honestly say, like, I distinctly remember when I was in college, the most frustrating thing that I experienced had nothing to do with what I was learning, had nothing to do with what grade I got in a test, but it had everything to do with me being frustrated with not understanding who I was and not understanding, like, what am I good at? Or when I do this certain thing, why does that make me frustrated, right? Why do I get frustrated over that? And I can't tell you, it has been such a journey, but the most frustrating thing is not understanding what I'm good at or who I am. Another thing I'm not good at, I hate details. I am not good at details. If you leave me up to planning an event, it won't happen. Okay, I can encourage you to go to an event and I'll get you real pumped up to go to whatever it is. But if I'm left up to the details, and I'm talking about like even my own wedding, people, okay? If it wasn't for the people around me, like Rachel and my mom, who are really good at details, I think I would have been at my wedding, JoJo, maybe our parents, if I remembered to tell them, okay, like literally my wedding wouldn't have happened, but that's okay, right? I brought those people that are good at those things around me to help me. Okay, same thing, me plus details, not happening. We need to know and be comfortable with what God has given us and accept that and own it. We're talking about run your race, right? Run your own race. Cheer for the person next to you, but run your own race. Maddie Bell can tell you, right? I come up to her all the time, and I'm like, girl, that song tonight, I just can't, right? She knows. I love to encourage Maddie on a song. If I got up there would be no encouragement, okay? As Christine Kane said, if I sang Oceans, everyone would drown, okay? I mean, I would enjoy it, but nobody else would. Okay, run your own race. Cheer for the person next to you, but run your own. So let's take the second part of that verse that we talked about, right? The second part says, use them well to serve one another. The second thing that you need to know is the significance of your purpose. This might be the wisest thing I say all night, so write this down. it's not about you. Your purpose is not about you. If you haven't noticed, guys, the world is kind of crazy, right? There's a lot going on in the world. We don't know who we are. There's so much division even within the body of Christ. We think that everyone can have your own truth. You can have a truth. I can have a truth. She can have a truth. What is truth? Right? Things are crazy. There is a problem in the world that God has uniquely gifted, graced, and anointed you to be the answer to. It's for someone else. It's to serve someone else. There are people on the other side of your obedience to discovering your purpose and using the gifts that God has given you. People's eternal destinies are literally on the line. Think about the weight of that. There are people out there whose eternal destinies that are in your hands that you could change with your obedience to God. Not only does your life matter, but it matters for other people. There are people out there that need to know that the mistakes they made aren't the end of the story. There are people out there that are waiting for you to tell them that they can live a life that matters, that they have purpose, that God sees them, that there is a God, that he sees them, that he died for them, that he loves them. There are people that need to know that the mess that they created for their life isn't the end of the story, that the mess that somebody else created for their life isn't the end of the story. They need you to pull them out of darkness and into life and into a life of freedom. That's the value that you have in your purpose. You are called to live a life of significance. And any other voice that says otherwise is a lie. So maybe you're thinking like, okay, Kristen, that sounds real great, but how are we gonna get there, right? We live in a culture of overwhelming choice, right? With technology, with the internet, we're overwhelmed with choice. And I'm not saying those things are a bad thing, just because trust me, I'll be the first person that says that technology is a good thing. Okay, I used to work for Apple. I'm all about it. But because of the choices that we have, I mean, we can do anything, right? We could, let's say after high school, we could go to college, you know, close to home. Or we could go to college halfway across the country or across the world. Or we could go into missions or the military. Or we could go anywhere. We could do anything with anyone at any time, whatever we want, because we're so connected. And we can travel anywhere. We can talk to anyone, right? And it can be super overwhelming. And that can also bring a ton of other voices into our head, which helps us or not helps us make decisions, right? And the thing about your purpose is that you're not going to find it scrolling through Instagram. You're not going to find it looking what everybody else's calling is, what everybody else's gifts are, and comparing yours to theirs, thinking that you're living in somebody else's shadow, right? Second best, right? Ephesians 1, 11 through 12 says this. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. I just want to read a section of that again. He had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Anybody else want glorious living? Hello. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. You are going to discover your purpose by getting alone with God, by letting his voice tell you who you are, where you are, and whose you are, what he's given you. You're going to discover your purpose by praying to him, by letting him fill you. Not by looking at everybody else, right? Not by thinking, man, I can't design like Joanna, or I can't play like whoever, or I don't dress like whoever. And the Bible is meant to be a mirror. Guys, I'm telling you, the more that you seek God out, the more that you read the Bible, the more you figure out who God is, the more you figure out who you are. My biggest encouragement for you tonight is that get alone with God. Let him tell you who you are. Let him tell you that you are the conqueror in life that he died so that you could be. Right? We're meant to live a life of significance. You know, the other thing that will lead you to your purpose is that God will actually give you a holy discontent about something. And I'm not talking about complaining, because we all like to complain, right? And I'll be the first person to admit, sometimes I actually get sick of myself because of how much I complain. But God will actually give you something, that some issue or something that's going on in the world that you just have to do something about, because you just can't be okay with that happening. You know, a lot of you know that might know this, but God has shown me what my holy discontent is, and that's human trafficking. When I found out about human trafficking, I can't tell you, literally, I could not get away from what I found out was going on in the world. I couldn't get away from it. I mean, to me, it was like, what is everyone doing in the world? Like, why is everyone living normal right now? Why aren't we doing something about this? Right? Because God put that in my heart, because that's what God's heart looks like, and he hates that that's going on. God is love, but he doesn't love everything. He hates that that's going on in the world, but he put that in me so that I would go do something about it. Everyone, we all know, right? Zach's heart, Zach hates when kids are fatherless. His heart is so wrecked by that, that he's immediately drawn to do something about it. That's because God put that there. He put that holy discontent to do something about that. Man, a lot of you know my husband JoJo. He has such a heart for people with special needs and how they're not seen like everybody else. Like they're not, sometimes when they're not given the same opportunities as everybody else, his heart is wrecked over that, and he's moved to do something because of that holy discontent that he has. And God will give you that. He'll give you something that you just can't be okay with. When something is wrong in the world, when God's kids, there's something wrong, he will give you that holy discontent so that you'll go do something. You know, something that I always thought was crazy was when people would tell me, like, Kristen, you know, you should really just kind of not really get into that because that's kind of dangerous. And I'm like, this is what we're here for, right? We're here, that's what we are here as Christians to do. We're not promised some easy life all the time, right? We're here to go to battle for people. And let me tell you something, if God's called you to it, he will gift you and grace you through it. He has to. If he's called you to it, he will give you the grace and the favor to do what he's called you to do. It doesn't happen all at once, right? Maybe it does. For some of you, maybe you'll just have a day where you're like, this is the thing. Well, I figured it out. But it's a journey, right? It's a process. It's not just one big event, but it's about who we are becoming. And, you know, and I can tell you this from personal experience, because remember when I told you the biggest thing in college was like, I just wanted to figure out, like, what am I supposed to do? I literally had the most stressful time of my life, my senior year of college, and you guys probably would have laughed at me if you saw what I did, but I literally put, like, notes on the wall and was like, okay, these are the things that I'm good at and that I like doing. What am I going to do with my life? Like, it was ridiculous, right? Because all my roommates, they all had internships and jobs, and they were moving away, and everybody else knew what they were doing, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I graduated college without knowing what I was doing. And every day was spent applying to jobs and everything. But I remember sitting, actually probably right around here, during 19 North one night. And Pastor Zach Blair was up here preaching. And literally out of nowhere, all of a sudden, I just had the desire to speak in front of people. Literally, I was sitting there like, I want to do that. But in the back of my head, I'm like, who am I going to talk to, and why are they listening to me? And here you are. Right? But God gave me that desire, and it set me on a trajectory, right? The first opportunity that I had to do that was Silver Ring Thing. I toured with Silver Ring Thing for a year and a half. And because I had that desire, it led me to Silver Ring Thing. And then when I was touring with Silver Ring Thing, I found out about human trafficking. And so after that, I worked for an anti-trafficking organization. So it's a journey that God takes you on, and the Holy Spirit gives you these desires that will set you on a trajectory. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will tell you along the path, go left, go right, go here, right? It's one step at a time, and it's all about who you are becoming. God puts things in our hearts that are not our current circumstance. He places dreams and desires and vision for things that he has for us, but it's a process to get there. And it unfolds one step at a time. And maybe some of you have that. Maybe there's some things in your heart that you're like, it's just something that you see yourself doing. It's just vision that God's given you. And you're like, how in the world am I gonna get there? But that vision is leading you, and God will lead you along the way. God has good things in store for you. Philippians 1:6 says this, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. I am certain that God who began the good work within you will be faithful to complete it. What I want to tell you about your purpose is that, yes, it is up to you to spend time with God, to be obedient with where he has you. But if you're doing that, it is actually God's faithfulness that will get you to your finish line, right? It is God's faithfulness. He will take you all the way. Ellie, you can come on up if you're in the back there. It's actually up to God to get you to the finish line. So as you're running your race, rest in the peace that you don't have to know it all. You don't have to see the end. You don't have to stress over, what do I do? What school do I go to? What mission trip do I go on? Whatever you're doing, whatever decision you have or future decisions, don't stress about it. God has created you for a purpose. He created you on purpose for a purpose. God has given you gifts so that you can live out that purpose for God's glory, to serve others, and also for your enjoyment of them. And God will be faithful to complete the good work that he began in you before you were even born. So don't stress about it. And guys, maybe tonight you're hearing for the first time that you have purpose, right? Maybe you're hearing for the first time that your life, there it is, that your life matters and that it's not just about you, it's actually for other people, and that it matters for other people that you discover your purpose. And maybe you're thinking, okay, I want to sign up for that, right? Jesus died so that we could live this life, a life that was too good to be true, a life that matters, a life that has purpose, and a life that you'll actually experience fulfillment in knowing that you made a difference in somebody else's life. Can I tell you that? You will never be fully fulfilled until your life is lived for someone else. And maybe you want that. Maybe you've never heard that that's a thing, that your life matters. And I want to give you that opportunity tonight. If you want, maybe for the first time, to give your life to the one who gave his for you so that you could live on purpose, so that you can know that your life matters. I want to give you that opportunity. So just with every head bowed and every eye closed, in a second, I'm going to give you that opportunity. And I'm just going to ask that you would simply just lift up your hand. I'm going to count to three with every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you tonight, if that's you that you want to make that decision tonight to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive your sins, and to set you on a trajectory that will completely change your life for others' lives. Just simply lift up your hand. I'm just going to count to three. One, two, three. If that's you, just simply slip up your hand. Awesome. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Wonderful. This is awesome. This is the single most important decision of your life. Anybody else? Awesome. I see that hand. All right. We're going to all pray together for these people as a family, as a body of Christ. So just say this in your heart, but say this out loud, just together as a family. Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. And I know that I need your grace. But I thank you, Jesus, for dying for me so that I can have new life, so that I can know that my life has purpose. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I thank you that I will never be the same. And I thank you that I will now live a life on purpose for other people. Sorry, that was kind of long. In Jesus' name, amen.